You're listening to DraftKings Network.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I watched two Opry Plaza movies last night. One in the theater, one
at home. Which two?
I watched Emily the Criminal in the theater and then went home and watched Ingrid Goes West.
She's having a moment.
Oh,
right?
I saw that movie.
Does she play a character other than Opry Plaza?
Yeah, she doesn't play Opry Plaza in either movie.
Oh, that's awesome.
Ingrid Goes West, I thought she kind of was similar. Kind of dark.
I don't know. She was nuts. I mean, maybe she is nuts, but she was nuts in that movie.
Aubrey Plaza has Billy Gill vibes.
Oh.
Okay.
Interesting.
Anyone see this?
Go on.
No, I just like, you know, kind of.
Allison always said that.
Yeah.
Allison always said that Billy Gill is like.
I was trying to steal that from Allison, but thank you for revealing that, Mike.
Fair enough.
Keeping you honest.
I respect it, King.
There was some interesting stuff in Ingrid Goes West about like social media, I thought.
Yeah, it actually made me like recoil quite a bit of just how they portrayed it in a way where I was like, yeah, this is 100%
yes, I mean,
accurate.
Never mind.
Are you wearing a Hall and Oates t-shirt?
I am. Does it surprise you that
it does
unironically
break all the norms in your head? And so reality switched sides for you?
Thought it'd be the Roots.
I'm very surprised that you're wearing a Hall & Oates shirt. I don't know why.
Why?
It's this very simple design. There's no like irony to it. It doesn't even say Oates and Hall, which is something that you would do.
What kind of ironic shirts do I wear?
I've known you for 10 years. You've
All
never once spoken about Hall & Oates.
Yeah, never once. We've done karaoke multiple times. Never sung a Hall & Oates song.
I've done Out of Touch so many times. What are you talking about?
Do it now.
But enough about your radio career. Oh. Because you're out of touch. No, that was.
You got the Hakeem Nicks.
I just heard. I heard Jessica's name.
All right.
Jessica's disapproval.
You guys ready to get going here?
Oh, we've started. Yep.
Oh, was that going on?
No,
it was very cash.
We're going to start now.
Start over with the Opry Plaza movie topic, Zach, and we'll get the.
Okay.
We'll get the.
Let's recreate
Bill
all of it. Mike won't undercut me this time.
In there, yeah.
You want me to start?
Yes, that's why I said start it, Zach.
Hey guys, I saw two Opry Plaza movies last night. One in the theaters and
Shut
one when
up.
I got
no,
home.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Which two?
I saw Emily the Criminal in the theater and then went home and watched Ingrid Goes West.
Does she play Opry Plaza?
You know what? She does not. She does not.
Ingrid Goes West was pretty interesting.
Opry Plaza is kind of having a moment right now, isn't she?
She sure is. She had a moment last
night. You know who reminds me of Opry Plaza? Billy Gill.
Oh.
Allison always said that.
Really? That's pretty interesting. I've never heard Allison say that. She probably heard it from me.
Are you wearing a Hall & Oates shirt?
I am.
Like, unironically?
I love
Hall & Oates. I imagine you'd wear like an Oates & Hall shirt.
I've known you for 10 years. You haven't once spoken about Hall & Oates.
I've never once heard you sing Hall & Oates at karaoke.
He's done it multiple times.
I thought it'd be the Roots.
I love how this joke literally lands with no one other than the seven people in this room right now.
What are you talking about?
Everyone else is like, what's going on with this conversation?
I mean, you like to sing Out of Touch, right?
But enough about Zach's radio career.
Ah.
Damn it!
Yeah!
No, I gave you the Hakeem Nicks.
Or Jessica.
All right, no.
This is the greatest inside bit ever.
Let's do it over.
All right, we good to go now?
Yeah.
We should start the show now.
Zach, you start.
Zach, you start with the Aubrey Plaza. <All right.
laughs> And then we'll piggyback off of it.
Okay. Do you want me to start right now?
Yeah, we're rolling.
All right. Hey, guys. I saw two Aubrey Plaza movies last night. One in the theater and one at home.
Oh, she's kind of having a moment right now, isn't
Ingrid
she?
Ingrid Goes West at home and Emily the Criminal in the theater.
You know who she reminds me of?
Hall & Oates?
The Roots.
But enough about Amin's radio career.
No, I gave you the Hakeem Nicks laugh.
Are you wearing a Billy Gill shirt?
And ironically?
We should restart.
This is stupid.
We'll do it again.
Do the restart videos ready? Yeah. All right. Just start off with the Aubrey Plaza thing.
Okay. Amin, are you wearing a Hall & Oates shirt?
Ingrid Goes West.
Aubrey Plaza was in Roots?
Billy Gill is having a moment right now.
Allison always said that.
Emily the Criminal is out of touch.
No, I gave you the Hakeem Nicks laugh.
Can we stop?
Are we rolling?
Yeah, Zach, you start.
Zach, I've known you for 10 years. You haven't once talked about Aubrey Plaza.
Guys, I have a new favorite show. Welcome to Wrexham.
Oh, I heard it's good.
I never knew I could care about minor league professional soccer in Wales as much as I do now. It's what Hard Knocks used to be. Zach, did you get those vibes watching Welcome to Wrexham? Yeah. Like, this feels like Hard Knocks, but old Hard Knocks, right? Like, not this weird version that's happening right now.
It's but, a true story, like, right? Like, it's a docuseries?
Yeah. So it's Wrexham who are in the fifth tier of English football, even though they're in Wales, and they basically bought the team. They pumped some money into them. They have one of the best squads in the league. They being Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney, the creator of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And it seemed like they almost bought the team to make the show. Like, they kind of recognized that they were going to make some content from it. And so whatever they spent on the team was worth it in this show that they're going to make. And presumably it's almost like the whole point of buying the sports team was to make content from it. And it takes a lot. Well, I haven't seen it yet, but it's sort of a lot of the ideas based off of the Sunderland Till I Die series that's on Netflix, which if you want another kind of look into parochial English football, definitely check that out on Netflix. But yeah, it seemed like the whole point was to create a show like this. I mean,
they say in the first episode, Rob first got interested because he's got another show that he created called Mythic Quest. I believe it's on Apple Plus. And one of the writers on the show is British and is really into his EPL. And so Rob he has almost zero knowledge in soccer, was so fascinated by how gung-ho these people are. And it reminded him of him being an Eagles fan. He's from Philly. He's very sports oriented. So he's like, I want to get into this. I want to buy a team to kind of, you know, capitalize on this, on this fervor. He realized I don't have the money to do that on my own. He said, I have TV money, but I need big money. And that's when he goes and taps into Ryan Reynolds, who's his friend, and they go in and buy this. But you're right. The cameras are rolling, Chris, before they even have put a bid in on the team. They're talking about bidding on the team and all that stuff. That whole process is being documented. Matter of fact, when they have the Zoom call, Zach, with the board of trustees, like trying to pitch their worthiness to be the ones to buy the team, Ryan Reynolds starts laughing after the call. He says, you didn't realize right behind you is this massive camera. Like, what are they shooting?
As he says, we're actually shooting a documentary about this. He's like, the camera's right behind you. Like, of course they know that. I thought it was weird. I don't know. Are these spoilers for stuff that happened in real life?
Nah.
That they had never met they were friends, like they were like social media friends, but they had never met. I don't know.
Really? I missed that part.
That's what he says. It's like he met him for the first time.
That's wild. You can't go into a business venture with somebody that you haven't met before like that when it's based on friendship.
Especially a business venture that will almost like owning lower league clubs in English football is almost always a losing proposition. Like this show is the only way that you can make money on. Like there are some people, like some Americans have gotten involved in a lot of clubs, some in the lower leagues, and some leave that experience going, woof. I did not like the economic experience of maybe my team could be relegated. I have to spend money in order to really get to the top level of the league. And albeit the National League, which is the fifth tier of English football, is a much lower level. It's a really tough division to get out of. Spoiler alert, as might happen to Wrexham. They like have to go in for a business that can be really tough to run. You come under a lot of scrutiny. You're entering an arena in which a lot of people are already kind of dead set on, I don't like this thing, I'm against you. Like you have to sort of have some metal, which is weird for a friendship that had never been tested before.
The thing that was really fascinating was usually when you hear about Americans coming in and buying clubs, there's a very strong resistance locally, even as they need the money and the support and the help. They're like, oh, these Americans are going to ruin everything. And at least so far, I know it's a TV show that's being edited, but it feels like the entire town is very, very supportive and excited about this. I keep calling them the takeover, because they understand that, man, like this is our only chance of getting out of the National League. They've been in this tier, which is like class A of baseball to compare it to something domestic. They've been in this tier for 14 straight years, which is like just mind-blowing that you can't for 14 straight years they haven't been good enough to move out of this, and the next tier below them is semi-pro at that point, right? You drop out of the National League, you're playing the Savannah Bananas and the Party Animals and stuff like that, basically.
But you're saying this is actually your new favorite show, and
yeah,
I'm the target demo for this. I love soccer. I love It's Always Sunny. I like Ryan Reynolds. So is that what's going on, or is it actually good?
No, it's like I said, it's like there's a lot of Rob and Ryan to begin the first episode. There's two episodes that have aired as of today. The first kind of part of it is about those guys, but then once they own the team, like we're into the team dynamics. We're into like the players, the stakes, where they're from. So one kid grew up in Wrexham. One guy is like 35 years old, and this is his last shot. And it's a very Hard Knocks-like experience because we join the team midway through their season, and basically they have to win their last game in order to get to the playoffs, in order to have a hope of being ascending into the next tier. So there's a lot of stakes. Like I said, it is very reminiscent of Hard Knocks, but old school Hard Knocks, where we got to know a young player, an old player, a guy who this, a guy that, and all the stakes that are on the line. Just to transition into Hard Knocks, episode 3, we finally got to know a couple of people on Hard Knocks. And I'm like, we're already 60% done with the season. What are we doing? And they cut 5 people and they didn't show us, which I was outraged about. Outraged. How dare you not show me the guy being asked to hand in his playbook or come see coach.
What was that guy's name? The guy who's responsible, they call him the Turk or something like that. Goes and gets the playbook. Isn't that a job in an NFL team? Like you go and get the guy's playbook and they're in charge of being the first person to tell them they're getting cut.
I feel like that's way too sophisticated a nickname for a football team. Like there's none of them are going to come up with something like the Turk.
A guy who was called the Turk one season. I don't know if that's a role in organizations.
I'm on it.
His name was probably like Turkey Canyon or something like that. There's no way they had enough of like Ottoman Empire like knowledge to say, Turkey, hey, this role right here.
So are there a lot of like funny Welsh accents in the show? Like that would be an appeal for me, because the Welsh accent and all Welsh names are fascinating.
Yeah.
Subtitles are your friend.
What I liked was they'll throw out a term and it's like what it means in England, what it means in America, and then what it means in Wales, like what that word is, like how to translate it.
So he said, you know, one of these locals is saying, like, I hope they sack the manager. And every time one of these terms happens, they will literally pause, go full screen with this thing, and have like the trumpets play, very kind of regal music. And it says, you know, English sacked equal, you know, English sacked, American fired, Welsh. And then I have the actual Welsh word, like, which has a lot of Y's and M's.
Oh, Welsh is an impossible language to read.
It's like your name, Chris.
Yeah.
Your name is Welsh, isn't it?
Just a lot of consonants. Actually, it is.
I've been working on a top five list back here.
By the way, I'm right about the Turk. I'm reading a piece that Frank DeFore did in 2011 from NPR, and the opening line is, "Now is the time when the Turk appears, he being that mythic figure in NFL camps who materializes one night with those words of doom for the poor player before him. Pick up your playbook and go see coach."
You pick the greatest writer in like American sports writing history and quoted him. You think they're walking around calling this guy the Turk? No, he did because he's a writer.
No, it's a thing. I'm telling you. There's an article from the Pro Football Hall of Fame that calls that explains the Turk. An NFL.com story, a Bleacher Report story. I'm telling you, this is a very common thing. A New York Times piece. The Turk is a thing.
Find me a Panthers blogger that has called it the Turk before Frank DeFore did, and then I'll be in.
I mean, Christ, like how many bits of evidence do you want?
More.
I mean, it's like when you didn't believe me that the Duquesne Dukes were called the Duquesne Dukes.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you say you had a top five list?
I do have a top five list, Mike. Top five Welsh actors. Yeah. Number five.
Whactors.
May he rest in peace, Terry Jones. Of Monty Python fame, directed The Life of Brian, The Holy Grail, and I believe Monty Python and the Meaning of Life.
Did you have an OLI?
I did have an OLI. Luke Evans. Luke Evans is on the OLI.
Is that Gaston?
I believe so, yes. He's in a lot of stuff, actually, lately.
He's having a moment. Furious franchise.
Kind of Aubrey Plaza.
What's number two?
Jessica. Hold on, Jessica. When talking about actors, you got to do it the way black people do. You got to be like, Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. You can't say Luke Evans. No one knows who that is.
Okay. Noted.
Feels like a trap.
Number four, Velma Kelly from Chicago, the one and only Catherine Zeta-Jones. Did not know she was Welsh until this very moment.
You're playing both sides.
I knew.
She's a great actress.
T.I.L.
She dips beneath lasers.
I think she was born in Wales, so she counts. Some of these lists are people that were born in Wales, but maybe like don't identify as Welsh.
No, she's Welsh.
But she's Welsh.
She identifies as Welsh.
That's like when we say Kyrie Irving's Australian.
Doesn't matter.
No.
Number three, Batman, Christian Bale.
Oh!
Number three.
That's a T.I.L. That's number three?
I thought he was Australian.
No.
Huh? Oh, good for you!
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da, right in the middle.
You can hear his true accent when he's playing John Connor. I forgot to mention
Luke Evans also Bard in the Hobbit franchise. And number two,
nobody
going back
that.
Out of order now, Sir Anthony Hopkins, number two.
No. No. There's no way.
Why?
I don't believe he's Welsh.
According to Wikipedia, he was born in Wales.
Wikipedia.
Why is that so hard to believe?
Dismiss Wikipedia.
It's just Wikipedia is just a real like.
It's a good dismissal, though.
It's just we know everything when anybody can edit it. I don't believe anything on there.
But it has to be fact checked by peers.
I'm reading a piece.
Our best source of information in the 21st century.
What do they know? Their peers. You want my peers fact checking things? That's a meme.
I'm reading an article from Wales Online that says he is absolutely loving his time in Wales as he posts pictures of his stay in homeland. So
that doesn't mean anything. That's just a celebrity went to Wales.
Wales Zach. Online is such a wonderful website.
Can I provide you any information that you'll believe? This is ridiculous.
Number one, he played the role that is the love of my life. Mike Schur's wife agrees. Philip Jennings from The Americans, the one and only Matthew Rhys.
He is terriblest. Not a better actor than Christian Bale.
But I am more attracted
Anthony Hopkins?
To him in my list.
Okay. Well, wait. If we're just doing this on attraction, Luke Evans is Zaddy.
Luke Evans should be on this list. Well, he was. He was an OLI. You can make your own list.
Man, more handsome than Patrick Bateman?
It's not about like handsomeness, Mike. I'm just saying like that character of Philip Jennings was one of my favorite TV characters of all time.
Well, yeah, it's your list.
My list.
So you saw an Aubrey Plaza movie?
Two of them.
Which ones?
Emily the Criminal and Parks and Rec.
She's having a moment.
Allison said that.
Been listening to a lot of the Roots.
Am I wearing a Billy the Gill shirt?
Oates and Hall.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Hey, listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit, and that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Dan Le Batard.
Well, Charlie sent, Charlie, as far as I know, so just Charlie's title in my
are you gonna say
phone.
Anything Stugatz
and how familiar were you at the time with Chewbacca, like how your upbringing had how much Chewbacca in it?
This is the Dan Le Batard show with the Stugatz.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Did you guys talk about Tom Brady's face yet?
More focused on his hair, but...
He's been watching TikTok.
The middle part is something that they're doing now, but you don't have to have long hair. You can just part it up the middle, even though you got the Zoolander hair, apparently. I thought he was having a bad hair day, but you're telling me he was going for that look.
I think he's going for it.
This what, like the Wolverine?
This could not be a thing. Yeah, this is just...
Oh, yes, like Zach! Get a brush. This is what you need to do. Get a wet brush.
I don't think I have a brush. I have a comb.
Okay, that's fine. Get a comb. Comb your hair back. Take the hard edge of the brush down the middle and part it on both sides. Oh my God. And show us.
You're parting on both sides.
This is not a good look.
No.
This is not a good look.
You have great hair. I want to see what it looks like.
The collagen is working.
Apparently, collagen does not work if you drink it. It is not dissolved into your bloodstream.
All evidence to the contrary.
Not powdered.
A liquid. Professional dietitian told me that last night.
Well, my professional.
Don't worry. Zach gets his information from a Hollywood starlet.
From TikTok chiropractors.
From TikTok chiropractors. Chiropractors.
Hey, I'm getting a massage and an adjustment on Tuesday.
Oh wow!
How about that, I've upped the game.
Traveling 47 at the same miles, time. You better
go off, King.
Tension.
The masseuse happens right before the adjustment.
What did Juju just say?
he said, tension. Can you feel the tension in the air right now? I know I can.
My wife, Donna.
When I was there on Tuesday, he was doing an adjustment on a TikTok personal trainer. So they were talking shop
really?
The whole time. And I've noticed that when he's recording a video, my appointment is about 30 minutes later than its scheduled time. It's happened two times in a row. But Sammy from The Circle is one of his clients.
Really?
Yeah.
The Circle.
She brings her baby.
What's The Circle?
The Circle is the first, or is that social media show from Netflix?
Oh, from Netflix?
You can either be yourself or you can pretend to be somebody else.
Yeah, you can catfish, right? Like, I remember, I watched like two episodes and I realized, like, this is boring. Netflix makes boring shows. They're boring. Yeah. All of them are boring. All of them? So boring. Yeah. They're all boring.
Does Untold count as that? Because it's like a series.
Is Untold boring? No, but they take liberties for sure. For sure they take liberties. Well, yeah.
I mean, every documentary does that, right?
Does it? I don't know.
Doesn't it?
I think so.
This Welcome to Cinephobe. This tomorrow, I believe it's tomorrow or Wednesday where they drop. No, it's tomorrow. They drop the new one, which is about Tim Donaghy.
Oh, God.
And we, on Basketball Illuminati last week, we had Sean Patrick Griffin, who is a professor of criminal justice at the Citadel. He wrote the definitive book on Donaghy and on that scandal. He talked to everybody. He talked to the co-conspirator. He talked to the mob people. He talked to the FBI. And he basically broke down how Tim Donaghy, like, inflated his ability to pick games. He made it seem like he could, depending on who was reffing the game, he could tell you which team was going to cover and all that. And the reality was he was awful at predicting any game other than the one that he was reffing on, indicating that, yes, it's, of course, you know what you're doing because he was fixing games. Right. So, I'm gonna watch it tomorrow, but I've got a heavy grain of salt with it because of my conversation with Sean Patrick Griffin, which you can experience right now on Basketball Illuminati, available wherever you get podcasts. Basketball Illuminati, Basketball Illuminati, Basketball Illuminati. Say it three times. Keep your third eye open. That for a plug.
A little long.
Interesting though. Unlike many Netflix shows.
Yeah, I don't really want to watch that doc because he's just such a ridiculous liar. He exhibits the behavior of such a ridiculous liar when he talks about this stuff. Like was Deadspin, like Deadspin was like using him for like playoff analysis a couple of postseasons, and I'm like, what are we? I get it, the shock of like, oh, he's gonna uncover all these truths, but he's just like, I don't know how you take anything that he says seriously. I guess if you're if you're a casual fan, you're just, and you recognize the name, then you're like, oh, he is telling the truth, right?
In a weird way, he's trying to live off of kind of the thing that Jose Canseco lived off of, right? Jose Canseco was the first one to come out and say, hey, PED use is rampant in baseball. And he was the first one to kind of blow the lid on that. And everyone kind of poo-pooed him. Of course, he was right. But then, because he was the guy that was persona non grata in baseball, he started popping up everywhere, like on The Simple Life and all these other shows, capitalizing basically on his role as a pariah. Now, what Donaghy has done is he's trying to do that without kind of, you know, having the, I guess, the credibility of having been right about something. He just kind of made it all up, minus obviously his involvement. But he's still trying to capitalize on the fact, like, I'm the one that's out. You want to hear from me because I'm the person that the authorities don't want you to hear from, which is kind of ridiculous because at the end of the day, he did exhibit the behaviors of a compulsive liar.
I don't know if this is a fair comparison. It feels like him trying to do this, just the spirit of him trying to do this, for some reason gives me like some January 6th vibes. Like, and not
Donaghy?
Not in terms of like
Zach,
being
I'm gonna need you to explain a little bit more on what this means.
Emily the Criminal and Ingrid Goes West.
Hall & Oates.
No, I mean that in that if you want to believe an alternative truth, right, you are going to go find those alternative sources. And I feel like Donaghy is an alternative source that is not reliable. But if you want to believe this stuff is rigged, then you'll say, yep, I believe that he's telling the truth.
So
I take it as,
but do we not believe? I mean, we believe that he rigged games that he refereed in, right?
Yes, he did. Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
So I guess the only thing that would then be interesting is if the stories that he told about what other people did could be corroborated.
Well, that's the point of what Sean Patrick Griffin wrote in his book and talked about on our podcast is that it wasn't like when you look at it, he was hitting like 70% on games that he reffed. And something like 30% or whatever the number was, like it was clear he had zero insight into any game that wasn't ref by him. But he passed it off as, no, I know these guys. I played golf with this guy. I hung out with this guy. I grew up with that guy, these different refs. And as a result, I can tell you their tendencies and stuff like that. But the reality was he had no insights. I mean, I'm not saying he wasn't friends with these different refs, but he had no insight as to whether or not they could fix or determine the outcome of a game or a line or anything of that nature. And that's the part where I'm interested, because someone asked me, well, are you going to watch Untold? And I'm like, yeah, I want to watch it because I want to see where he's going to be misleading and compare it to, you know, what we talked about on our podcast on Basketball right. Illuminati.
I wonder if like the bookies always keep books so accurately, right? Like why have all this information available for someone else to go uncover in an investigation? Like they should, I don't feel like they should be keeping records the way that they do.
Oh, you're like, why do we keep books?
Why
guys, like, why do we have this laying around?
Yeah, right. Why do that? It doesn't seem to serve them at all.
If you need to remember something, that would give yourself a better position if you're being accused of a crime.
Well, I would also say, Zach, they have to find out where the money is going, because otherwise then you get everyone skimming. If you don't keep books, then there's skim going on everywhere. The funniest thing that Sean Patrick Griffin told us was that one of the things that Donahue said was like, this was a mob thing. And like the mob was like, we had nothing to, like literally had nothing to do with this. It was just like, he came to his friends, his childhood friends who happened to be Italian and saying like, I got these picks. I can make things happen. And from there, you know, like
his friend Spaghetti Lasagna took over.
Yeah.
Just like,
that's the one, you know, but that's how he spun it. He spun it as my friend Spaghetti Lasagna, who's in the Gambino family. And they're like, wait, the Gambinos are like, what? No. Like, it's a guy that we hired to, like, you know, take out the trash or whatever. It's a very interesting kind of case study when you talk about, like, the idea of, you know, you just said it, Zach, that if you're searching for alternative facts, this is the type of person who you are attracted to. And the idea that there's a cottage industry now all over the country of people who just lie the lie that you want to hear. And their lack of credibility in a weird way acts as a credibility. It's like, oh, he's not recognized by the da-da-da, you know, by this institution. Oh, that's great, right? I don't want someone who's recognized by the institution because they're corrupt and they don't know what they're talking about and they want to cover up.
It becomes too like that's a social media thing as well, right? In that it will be bots as the first replies on any like breaking news in whatever sports is you just having like this guy's record is this and this guy doesn't do this and this guy doesn't do that. And it's just this alternative like opinion to tear down whatever it is someone might like, which I realize has become the point of social media. It's just, it used to be, what if we interacted with people we don't know and what if we got more information and didn't just have to rely on Wikipedia all the time? And now it's just become, you like this? Let me tear it down in four tweets or less.
It's never less than four tweets.
Thread, one of 72.
/?
A brief thread. I love that. A brief thread on how I'm going to systematically tear you down. That's how it shows up in your mentions.
I love the one where it is so like just off the top of the dome. They're just like, I don't know how many this is going to be, but it's
the classic 1/X.
Yeah.
You ever seen that? That for me is, there's a meme that gets thrown around in the group chat where it's, hate that happened to you or happy for you. I ain't reading all that.
TL.
Good meme.
Too long. Didn't read.
I'm with, I don't know if we want to bring this up anymore. I'm with Mike. An audiobook is reading.
It is.
Thank you.
It is. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much for
it's learning.
That.
It's not reading. Like you're learning the way you would if you read, but you're not actually reading.
So how would you describe reading?
You open up a book.
Uh-huh.
You look at the words.
Left to right. Line by line.
You look at the left words. Left to right. Line by line. And then you ingest the information.
So blind people can't read?
Oh!
Yes, they can with Braille.
Okay.
We could go down that argument if that's reading.
Wait. Braille is reading.
It is.
It is.
Yeah. But
Tony said
listening
that.
Is so not reading.
But you're the one that told me it's opening up my eyes and reading left to right.
No, I never said anything about the eyes. Mm. I said open up a book.
No, you said the eyes. Run it back. You said the eyes.
I don't think he did say eyes.
You said looking at the words.
Open up the book.
looking at the words. Open up the eyes.
Look at the words.
Look or feel the words.
I said the word look. So look. maybe that's where my.
Yep. You can't. Just putting it out there. You just flatly said blind people can't read. Those are words that left your mouth.
Chris Whittingham, ADA violation.
See what I mean? There's a bunch of different ways to experience a book, and if I'm getting the same information from it, then what's it to you?
But you just used a different verb. You didn't say you said experience a book.
I mean,
you're experiencing a book by listening to it.
Hey, when you watch Welcome to Wrexham and you got the subtitles on, are you watching that show or are you reading it?
That's actually an interesting distinction.
Reading.
Yeah, I actually a lot of people hate this. A lot of people judge the subtitle users. But Chris,
it was just I like to fill the spaces. I didn't really mean that.
By heckling me,
yeah. Just fill the spaces into a microphone the next time.
It's really funnier off mic, actually.
It's not
for us.
No, it is
literally like for us four.
But not for the audience.
You want to listen to that back? You guys are wrong on this. You want to listen to that back? It's funnier off mic.
For those who didn't hear, Chris Cody said he hates Woody.
I don't want to do this to you guys. It's fine. We can replay it back, and you can clearly the background comments are funnier. We don't have to get caught in the weeds, but
we're here already.
We're here.
Was Jeremy's
say it loud enough for a microphone to pick it up?
You guys have headphones on.
Yeah, that's how you listen
that's
to the
how
show.
Low it was.
That's how everyone is listening to the show. They're listening it through something.
I mean, did you hear it?
I did not. No.
Oh man.
Damn.
Point against Chris.
Sometimes you're loud enough the microphones pick it up, but not that time.
Wait, the Other fart times or Chris just, Cody's comment?
Jeremy farted.
Jeremy farted. Jeremy
farted. Yeah. Yeah, this has been a subject of while you're having that conversation about Tim Donaghy, we were arguing about Jeremy farting.
Jeremy farted.
Yeah.
Jeremy Gassay. Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah, that's a little
terrible.
No
way.
What I was going to say was I think a lot of people judge the subtitle users, and I subtitle on everything that I watch. Even if I can understand the accent, I find that dialogue is such an important part of every show that I want to make sure that I have it exactly right.
Hate you!
Same as I'm doing. I'm basically using audio subtitles when I'm reading my books. That's what I'm doing.
There is no... We have to watch something.
No. I'm with this. This is accurate.
Wait,
I'm using audio subtitles.
Yeah. Okay, so but if I said to you, I read Welcome to Wrexham, you'd be like, what the hell are you talking about?
It's because it's a show. You'll say I watch. And what I'm trying to do to save you, like all the follow-ups, is like, I just read Heat 2. I read Heat 2, and I have all the same information that someone that read it from the book. We got the same thing. In fact, my experience was awesome because the person doing the voices would actually tap into a Pacino impression, and it's amazing. It's incredible. It's even better than my own personal imagination would be.
It's like a little
is this real?
It's tiny
real.
Italian in Godzilla the, inside your headphones.
In the Heat 2 audio book, when he's doing Detective Hanna, he transforms his voice into an Al Pacino impression, and it is dead on. It is incredible. And they try to explain why he has that accent. Like he has relatives that came over from France. They're really trying to reverse engineer why Al Pacino overplays the role. But it really helps. It's such a performance. What a great book that I cannot put down. Heat 2, page turner.
Does he do any other voices?
He doesn't have a great De Niro, so he's just very subtle with it, which is a more understated De Niro role. I bet you he reads it normally, but his face when he's reading it just does like the Frank Caliendo, like meet the
parents.
Can
you do a De Niro without doing that face?
No.
It doesn't work, right?
No,
the face has to be there.
You have to do. It's an audio medium. Look how funny it is when someone doesn't say something into the microphone, Chris.
I have a question. Have you guys ever farted cartoonishly loud?
Cartoonishly loud. We were just talking about that in
Jeremy,
room.
Like this was, it was like a gag. It was like a whoopee cushion.
Like, did it go, like the high?
It was one of those ones that he could blame on the chair.
Yeah.
And he tried it.
Yeah.
It sounded chair like bear. This.
Fart
That's
bear.
How it sounded like that. You think it was a,
it was more like a.
No, it was a.
No, it was not a.
It was like a. It was a leather sound.
And then he quickly was like, "Oh, this is clearly a chair. Yeah. Oh my God, why would the
but
chair?"
But then he couldn't recreate the noise again with the chair, which
he farted.
Jeremy, you have another shot to recreate the noise.
I thought you said another shot.
Jeremy, just defend yourself off mic.
There it is.
Hmm.
Yeah, that sounded like a chair. It didn't sound like a fart. But I had a fart where that came out with the cartoonish sound with the high pitch at the end.
But that's just cheeks placement, right?
It was
the chair. It was the way I was sitting in the chair.
Oh,
like
okay.
Like
are you talking Scary Movie?
Depending
three?
On that.
When there's Anna Faris makes the fart noise and then she's like, sorry, it was the chair. And then Queen Latifah like makes an obvious fart and she's like, yes, the chair.
Farts don't really make me laugh in cinema, but there are some times that just going for it makes me laugh. What's your favorite fart in cinema history?
Oh, easy. Dumb and Dumber. Toilet.
Dumb and Dumber? Toilet? But that's a pooping. That's not a fart.
No. It's both. It's both.
No, it's a pooping. It's not a fart.
Go watch it. Go watch the whole movie right now.
I know the whole movie. Front to back, line by line,
okay.
Almost as much as Billy Madison.
Can you give us a top five cinematic fart noises?
Ooh, I'm gonna work on it.
I think there's one in Goldmember.
Yeah. Oh, I was just thinking about it. Wasn't it in Spy Who Shagged Me when he does the whole whole scene where he's like, I eat because I'm unhappy, and I'm unhappy because I eat, yeah. And then he has like this whole somber moment at the end of it. He farts. Is that in Goldmember or is that in the second one?
Hmm. Unsure.
I think that was a Goldmember.
Yeah, I think Fat Bastard is the Goldmember.
Fat Bastard's in the second one and the third one, right?
Wait, hold on,
yes,
hold on, guys, we have to get this right because the other day I said that the fantasy football scene happened in This Is 40, and many people on the internet were outraged.
I have a movie podcast,
and I don't know where scene everything is in. Oh my God, how could I even say that I like movies if I got this wrong?
Seth Rogen wasn't in This Is 40.
What movie was it then?
Knocked Up.
I said that, and it was corrected. Look at me. I didn't know I was right, though.
I know. And the internet came to your aid. They put on their wings and their capes, and they flew to the skies of the multiverse, right? Coming to let me know that I wasn't worthy of having a movie podcast because I made the cardinal sin of confusing a scene from one movie from its sequel.
Who has more disdain for their fans? Amin mocking people who correct him on Twitter? Or
it's me. What do you mean me?
I'm trying to think
if there's another one, but I think it's might a meme. Just be a
Jessica, it's not the correct. It's one thing to say, hey, man, it was actually in Knocked Up. All right, that's cool. It's the, oh my God, how could you get this wrong? Like, it's the same thing when you said George Washington was in, we were talking about it in Rocky. And I was like, yeah. I think that was in Rocky 2. He comes out. And it turns out, no, it was the first Rocky where he comes out dressed as George Washington. And again, it wasn't like, hey, man, it's actually Rocky 1 where it came out. Oh, my bad. Good looks. It was, oh, my God. And this one has a movie podcast? How is this possible? How many millions?
I'll say this. I was on the verge of passing out. And I was enraged with so much fury, yelling at my phone because you had messed that up. You said, no, are you kidding me? This is 40. It's This Is 40. You got that real just like haughty, like, oh, This Is 40. Oh my God.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Is such a dumb phrase. It is the hallmark of a moron.
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
What's wrong with that phrase? Kidding?
It's
you
a say, dumb phrase.
Hallmark of a moron.
Who?
You. No, I say I it don't. Regular.
I don't.
Got 147 years of cinephobe to say otherwise.
There's things that people like more than correcting other people, though, especially people that have podcasts. Like we're like the chosen ones, and when we get something wrong, like we're extra special stupid. You know?
If we're gonna yell about fans,
I'm wrong all the time.
Can I throw this out there? Quit telling me, hey, you guys should do the podcast this way. It's wildly successful. I think we got it right. Okay. I think we got cinephobe right. I don't need suggestions. I don't need your notes. You either like it or you don't. Quit saying, hey, I wish you didn't do this, or hey, you should do this. I don't care. It's good.
Yeah, I won't be sober. Sorry.
Well,
I refuse. No,
Top five farts in movie history.
Oh.
No OLI. Pure cuts right here. It was hard coming up with five.
Well, I can confirm, by the way, the Austin Powers one that I was referencing was in the second one, was in Spy Who Shagged Me.
Not in my top five.
Hmm. OLI?
Nope, no OLI. It's hard to say OLI quickly for me. Number five, South Park. Bigger, longer, uncut. Terrence and Phillip and their Uncle number.
What?
Yeah, it was a great tune. It fart along the way. Number four, Spy Hard. There's a scene in Spy Hard where like he reports to like this sergeant and he's like a top spy, right?
Wait, what is Spy Hard?
Spy Hard is a Leslie Nielsen movie. Yeah, yeah, and he likes to like always trick Leslie by disguising himself as parts of office furniture, or he paints himself. So there's this one scene where he's looking for his boss, and he just sits down on a couch and he lets a big one rip, and the guy like reveals himself that he was actually disguised as the couch.
Future Cinephobe, file.
Oh, I want to be in that one.
7% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What? Insane. Number 3, Dumb and Dumber, but not the pooping scene. Lloyd lights a fart on fire in this movie. It's a laugh.
Oh, yeah, that's a great scene.
The reason why the other one isn't is I've classified that as a pooping scene, not a farting scene.
Dumb and Dumber, you have to have watched Dumb and Dumber before you were 15, or else you will find that movie incredibly stupid.
Facts.
No, it's a very smart movie.
Never seen it.
Stop it.
It's not Billy Madison.
Number 2.
It's way smarter than Billy Madison.
Yeah. It's a terrible movie. It's a terrible movie.
Number 2.
It's not funny.
Step Brothers.
The fart in Step Brothers.
What's the fart in Step
Brothers?
During
a job interview. And it,
oh, and yeah, like, when they're both interviewing.
It just comes out of nowhere. It's just a huge, long fart as an answer to one of the questions that they were being asked in the job interview.
He's got a great look on his face, too.
His face during it. And who's the guy that was interviewing them? He's like, I can taste it. Was it Rob Riggle? He's like, I think I could taste it.
I think it is Rob Riggle, yeah.
I taste that. So number 1, Rain Man.
What? Dude, you went a whole 5 and you didn't mention The Nutty Professor?
No, that was definitely not making my top 5 list.
Two Americans.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real.
Not doing The Nutty Professor one. Not funny to me.
Juju corrected it. Seth Rogen. We can just throw the podcast.
Oh, Seth Rogen. Yeah, very sorry. There's something going on with Seth Rogen where we have no recollection of the movies that he's in.
Oh my God. I can't believe. Are you kidding me? These guys, they don't even know what movie that Step Brothers had. And da, da, da. Oh, shut up.
I flipped.
Shut
it.
Up. Are you kidding me, dumb phrase? What's top 5 dumbest phrases? I'm coming up with it right now. Hold on. Let me get a pen and paper.
So I originally had Step Brothers as my number 1, but I flipped it because I read a little bit about the fart scene in Rain Man, and Tom Cruise told Oprah that it was totally ad-libbed because Dustin Hoffman actually farted on the set, and he made it into art. Fart.
Why did Amin have to get up to get pen and paper when he's on a laptop and probably has a phone next to him to write things down?
I want to write. I like. Look, see, I have leather-bound notebooks.
Oh, my God.
Look, see, Louie.
Fancy pens.
You miss a hell of an anecdote about Rain Man.
I heard it.
Dustin Hoffman
magic
actually
of Bluetooth.
Farted. He actually farted.
I was listening.
It's a pretty funny scene. And, that's my number 1 fart. I thought that list was going to be better.
That's how I felt about my Welsh actors list. Just felt like a dud.
It's tough when you don't have an OLI, Mike. It makes it too hard-nosed.
I did the thing where I wanted to take a principled stand against the Nutty Professor fart scene. It was funny. I don't know what I'm doing there. And when I was a little kid, I was laughing my butt off.
Do you just not like the Nutty Professor now? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I look back on it. I was like, why did I find that so funny? And I don't do that with Dumb and Dumber. And I... Maybe
Americans.
I'm not this super highbrow. Is it too? Am I racist?
A little bit.
Name a black friend.
I can't.
All right, everybody. Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Hey, listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit. And that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.